Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
Are your prayers puny or powerful? There comes a time when you must stop talking to God about the size of your mountain and start talking to the mountain about the size of your God. You invite His presence. You proclaim His power. You stand on God's promises. It's time to revolutionize your prayer life and start moving mountains.
Hey, Liquid Church, it is great to see you. My name is Pastor Todd, and I am the legacy pastor here, which simply means that I look after our marketplace leaders here in the church and those that have the gift of generosity. And right now, we are in part five of our Moving Mountains prayer series. Can we take a moment and just welcome our church online? Come on, put your hands together. We have been seeing so many prayers come in. I actually saw this written out prayer the other day from somebody not in our church that I thought was humorous. And it says this. It says, "Dear Lord, so far today I am doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. However, I am going to get out of bed in a few minutes, and I will need a lot more help after that." Now listen, although that prayer is funny, how many know that a lot of times as Christians, so many of our prayers are small prayers. They are selfish prayers. They are daily prayers. And today I want to talk about a different type of prayer. In fact, when I got out of college, I had the opportunity to backpack Europe with a few friends of mine, and our plan was to go to 7 different countries, but we only made it to 5 because we ran out of money. In fact, in the midst of our travels, I ended up losing my passport, had to go to the U.S. Embassy and get a new one, and then a couple days after that, my friend had his passport stolen, and we ended up stuck in Spain for about 6 days. But this ended up being a blessing in disguise because we had the opportunity to go to Barcelona. And while we were in Barcelona, we saw one of the world's most gorgeous cathedrals. It wasn't just any cathedral. It was called the Sagrada Familia. And this amazing church is actually the longest church construction project in history. It began in 1862, and it's projected to be done in the year 2026. That is a 154-year construction project. You thought renovating your kitchen was bad, renovating your bathroom was bad. 154-year construction project. And I love what somebody involved in the project said in the midst of it. They said, "True legacy is when you begin great things that will not be completed in your lifetime." Today, I want to talk about this idea of what it means to think legacy. What it means to pray legacy prayers. A few years back, my father and grandfather were at my house, and it was Father's Day, and I was trying to think of a good gift to give them, and I had this picture created, and I blew it up, and I put it in a frame, and I gave it to my father, and I gave it to my grandfather. This picture is a picture of my son, myself, my dad, and my grandpa, and I gave it to them. And it was such a meaningful moment because I was thinking back. My grandfather was a man of faith. He was a Christian. He had his family in church a few days a week. And I just thought to myself, if my grandpa didn't have faith, I don't know if my dad would have faith. And if my dad didn't have faith, I don't know if I would have faith. And if I don't have faith, I don't know if my son would have had faith. You see, we are designed as multi-generational beings because we serve a multi-generational God. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, it says in Psalm 145, "One generation will praise your deeds to the next. Each generation will talk about your mighty acts." You see, when God saved you, He didn't just see you. He saw in you another generation and another generation that He wanted to save. It's a powerful thing. You know, after I gave my grandfather and my dad this gift, 3 months later, my grandpa died at 98 years old. And I just have this feeling that right now, I might just be living in the answered prayers of my grandfather. Because whenever we pray, we are growing fruit on another generation's tree. I don't know about you, but this gets me excited to zoom out from my personal problems for a little bit and start to think bigger and pray longer. What are you believing God for today that is beyond and bigger than yourself? What are you praying for that is humanly impossible? What is on your prayer list that you would be embarrassed to say out loud? I'll tell you what, I have a journal that I write in every single morning. And on the inside of the cover of my journal in January every year, I write 6 or 7 things down that I call crazy big prayers. I'm talking about stuff that is wild. I think that we need to pray bigger, and I think that we need to think longer. Let's stop just praying for that struggling family member that's not a Christian saying, oh, I hope they become a Christian, I hope they come to church. Let's pray for our entire family to get saved and have an encounter with Christ. Let's stop praying that we would just get a better job. How about we pray that we would get our dream job? Let's stop praying that we would just have enough money to pay the bills, and let's pray that we would have an abundance of resource so that we can be a blessing to other people. Let's stop praying just these cute little prayers over our kids at night that God would protect them. Let's start praying for their future spouses and their children, that they would never settle for a career when God has a calling for them. In other words, let's not just pray for our life, let's pray for our legacy. Whenever we hear the word legacy, we often think of old people and we think of a financial inheritance. So much bigger than that. Check out this verse, Proverbs 27. I love this. It says that a man's strength, power, and riches will one day fade away. When I read that verse, I just was so motivated because I was like, man, a man's riches, power, and strength will one day fade away. I want to do things that don't fade away. I want to do things that have eternal value. That's what I want to have. You see, there's a difference between living a life of success and living a life of significance. Success is wealth, status, and achievement, but significance is generosity, service, and relationship. I just have this belief that every person in the world, I don't care how old you are, I don't care your color, your culture, your race, your socioeconomic status, I believe that everybody has 3 intrinsic desires. Everybody wants to believe in something, belong to something, and do something significant with their life. This is why God gives us dreams. What is it that you are dreaming about? Are you dreaming about starting a family? Are you dreaming about building a business? Are you dreaming about launching a nonprofit? Are you dreaming about maybe somebody that you love getting completely healed? Are you dreaming about God giving you an idea that no one has ever thought of before that disrupts an entire industry? Are you dreaming about leveraging your business for kingdom impact? We have to continue to think big and pray big. I love this verse in Revelation 5. It is so mind-boggling to me. I want you to listen to this for a second. It says this in verse 8, and when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Think about that for a moment. Golden bowls that were holding the prayers of God's people. That is you and that is me. How precious are our prayers to God that he keeps them in bowls? This is so fascinating and so vital because what this tells us is our prayers do not have expiration dates. Our prayers will literally outlast us. That's a powerful thought. In fact, I want to illustrate this to you, this idea of what it means to live a life that outlasts us. This rope represents eternity, and it just goes on and on and on. And this little part at the end, this 6 inches of green, represents your life. You see, we as Christians, we have this eternal promise that 1 million years from now, we know where we're going to be. In fact, did you know that 54 of the 66 books of the Bible talk about heaven? It says that we are citizens of heaven and we are just passing through this earth. This is heaven. There's no more pain, no more sickness, no more disappointment, no more tears, no more taxes. Can I get an amen? And over here, these little 6 inches represent 70, 80 years of your life. This is your entire existence. This is when you were born. This is your childhood. This is when you went to school. This is your first kiss. Here's college. Here's COVID. Here's when Travis Kelce started dating Taylor Swift. And most of us, all we do is live for this when we were created for this. Most of our prayers are all right here when we're supposed to be believing for over here. You see, everything that we do right here has the power to affect over here. In fact, you know what transfers over into eternity? It is the prayers that we pray, and it is the people that we help. This is why we have the legacy team here at this church. The legacy team is simply those that have the gift of generosity, that want to see the vision of the church move forward. It is people that believe their generosity is generational. It is people that want to take their marketplace success right here and transfer it into kingdom significance. Now, I have a friend named Nick who understands this so well. Nick is a businessman in our church, and he has taken his marketplace success and turned it into kingdom significance, helping an extraordinary amount of people. I want you to check out Nick's story.
Hi, I'm Nick Ruiz, co-founder of Miles for Migrants, a nonprofit that uses frequent flyer miles to fly refugees and reunite families to safe homes. The concept came from the time that Jen and I lived in Italy. During that time, we had a Bible study for international students like ourselves. We'd have a meal, fellowship together. I was sitting at church one Sunday, and Pastor Latif came.
Because of persecution and accusation, I left my country. I had no idea where I was going. It was really hard for me to leave my country because there was my wife and 2-year-old son.
We met so many people, dads and moms, who were separated from their children, their spouses. It was difficult to see like how exactly to help, because it seemed like such a big need. And so for a few years, Nick was kind of thinking and praying about possibly starting a nonprofit. When we were leaving Italy, Nick had talked to Nasir, one of our friends, who had been waiting for his family to come from Pakistan. About a year later, Nasir had contacted Nick to say that his family visas were ready.
Knowing that I had frequent flyer miles and just a little bit of money that I could spend, that I could budget, it made it possible to make that reality now. And so I prayed for that opportunity. With God's help, I was able to book that flight. And one day, Jen and I received a picture in our email of his family reunited. So that made me think, if God can make this possible, to pool all those together, what could we do? So I took it to Reddit, of all places, in a travel community. Shared the idea, framed it as the best redemption ever. When I shared that, I was overwhelmed by the support. I even found a co-founder. And from there, we started Miles for Migrants, and that started our journey to fly over 43,000 people over the course of 7 years.
God had a mission and vision for Brother Nick, so he used him for this work. And because of prayers, it became reality.
There's a family from Guatemala who had to flee the country because of the cartels and gangs. I was blessed to be able to witness their reunion in Newark Airport. And I witnessed them singing a song together of worship.
When the families were reunited, I feel like it was just a reminder that God can do anything. God can move mountains. And just over time, God takes this little prayer, this little thing, and he grows it into this vision that he had all along.
Miles for Migrants started with something as little as a mustard seed And here there are many, but it started with one family that I was able to reunite. Then, taking that idea of using frequent flyer miles, we were able to multiply that to fly over 43,000.
Come on, can we take a moment and celebrate what Nick has done? Absolutely incredible. I love Nick's story because he literally is changing the legacy of thousands and thousands of people. Now, I know Nick, and I'm in a small group with him, and I've had a privilege of hearing some of the ups and the downs of his battles. And what I love about Nick is this is a guy that understands what it's like to pray and to not give up. In fact, it actually reminds me of my favorite woman in the Bible. This is my favorite woman of all time. It's found in Luke 18. I want to read you a piece of her story about prayer. I think it's going to encourage you. Check this out. It says this in verse 1. It says, "One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up." Somebody say, never give up. "There was a judge in a certain city," he said, "who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.' The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, 'I don't fear God or care about people.'" Watch this. "But this woman is driving me crazy." None of the husbands say amen at that point. "I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Here we go. I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" When God in heaven looks down on New Jersey, looks down on Liquid Church, looks down on your life, he is looking for one thing and one thing only, and that is faith. Now, you got to understand the cultural context of this woman, because when she went to the courthouse, this was not a brick and mortar building in the middle of downtown like we are used to. The courthouse in ancient Israel was a mobile tent that was set up, torn down, and it would move to different locations without giving anybody notice. This is not only important, this is impressive. Why? Can you imagine if you were to go to the gas station that you always go to, and when you pulled up, all of a sudden the gas station was gone? Can you imagine pulling up to your favorite restaurant and it had just moved and you had to figure out where it was? Why is that impressive? Because this woman would get up every day and she would go find that courthouse and put her request in and put her request in and put her request in. She was not just sitting at home on her couch saying a prayer and, "All right, if God does it, God does it." No, she was getting up and she was moving. In other words, she had a level of urgency. And if we are going to have eternity in mind, you're going to have to live with urgency. You're going to have to realize that your life is very short. You're going to have to realize that not only is life short, but eternity is real and the time is right now. These are people that understand that tomorrow is not promised. These are people that understand legacy is not for later in life. Your legacy starts today. Man, there's just something about people that operate with a level of urgency. Just people that are like, man, there's people to help. There is a gospel to share. There is an impact to have. Urgency is powerful. You know, lately I've been going to the gym. I've been working out. I'm sure that you can tell. And the other day I went to the gym and it was 4:30 and I had to leave at 5 o'clock to go pick up the kids. So I had a 30-minute window to get the best workout possible. So I went in the gym. I was running over there. I was doing biceps, ran over here. I was doing triceps, ran over here, doing the bench press, got on the treadmill. I'm running real fast. All of a sudden I get a text message from my wife. I read the text message and she says, "Hey, don't worry about picking up the kids. I'll grab the kids." I said, "Amazing, great." All of a sudden, I was like, "Man, I gotta stretch." Also, I'm stretching out. I'm like, "You know what? Let me get some water over here." All of a sudden, I get a drink of water at the gym, you know. "Oh, you know what? Let me pull my phone out." All of a sudden, I'm checking Instagram. What's everybody doing? You know, what had happened to me? I had lost my sense of urgency. I no longer had a purpose. I no longer had somewhere to be or something to do. And it's so easy for us as Christians to lose our urgency. We just come to church, we sing the songs, we say the prayers, And it's so easy for us to say, you know what, someday I'll live for God. Someday I'll give back. Someday I'll chase that dream. Someday I'll spend more time with the kids. And I'm telling you, we have to stop procrastinating the purposes of God. We have to understand that legacy starts today. And can I just encourage you, every time that you pray, you're leaving a legacy. Every time that you are becoming the man of God and the woman of God that you're called to be, you are leaving a legacy. Every time that you get your family into church, you are leaving a legacy. You know, my wife and I had the opportunity recently to go to Africa. And I actually went to Zambia and we took a vision trip there with some legacy team members. Had an incredible experience. But before that, my wife and my kids were in South Africa. And I was able to preach at a church there and do some ministry. And we had the time of our life. I want to show you a picture of me in Africa. This is me walking a cheetah. It's not a big deal. I don't know if you've ever walked a cheetah, but I have, okay? And I'll tell you what, though. This was not the highlight of my trip. You see, my son, he really has a gift to communicate. He's not afraid to speak in public. He loves giving presentations at school. And my daughter, she's an artist. She is creative. She loves to color and paint and draw. And while we were over there, my son had the opportunity to get up on a stage and pray in front of 12,000 people. And the next day after that, we were able to visit this orphanage, 500 kids. And my daughter is there face painting all afternoon, these beautiful African children. This was the highlight of my entire trip because the more years that go by, the more I realize I don't want more stuff. I want more stories. I don't want to collect stuff. I want to collect stories. Stories of God moving in my life. Story of miracles. Stories of following God's Spirit. We can't take this stuff with you. I don't know about you, but have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? I've never seen that before. Why? Because we cannot take our stuff with us. The only thing that will transfer into eternity is the prayers that we pray and the people that we help. So I just want to be very practical for a minute. I want to give us some questions that we can ask ourselves here for just a moment. The first question is a relational question. Am I investing in the relationships that matter most? The second question is a financial question. Is my generosity going towards things that have eternal value? We can give to a lot of things, but I'll tell you what, I want to give to stuff that's going to show up in heaven. Third question is a professional question. Am I just working for a paycheck, or do I have a purpose? And the fourth question is a spiritual question. What am I praying for that is bigger than me? What am I praying for that is bigger than me? This widow in Luke 18, it was not about her. It was about the person she was trying to get justice for. It was about not just shifting her life, but shifting other people's life because of her request, because of her prayer, because of not giving up. Now, here's the fascinating thing about this woman. We don't know if she was giving this request for 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years. All we know is that she just kept on praying, kept on requesting. There is something about persevering in prayer. Come on, let's be honest. The most difficult part about praying is not praying for something. It is continuing to pray for something. It is going to be believing God for the same thing month after month and year after year. That is a difficult thing to do. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you ever text messaged somebody before and they don't respond to you within 5 minutes? You're like, why are you ignoring me? Why are you ignoring me? And listen, technology is amazing, but it makes us more impatient. And if we're not careful, that impatience can trickle its way into our spiritual life. And we can pray and ask God for something. If he doesn't respond within 5 minutes, why are you ignoring me? Why are you ignoring me? But how many know that God is not the God of technology? You cannot Google a response from God. This is why the Bible talks so much about agriculture and farming. I don't know a lot about farming. I'm not a farmer, but I do know that it probably requires three things. You got to plant, you got to water, and then you got to wait. And then you got to wait some more. Then you got to wait some more. Then you got to probably water some more. Then you got to wait some more. And I can imagine these farmers getting frustrated, looking down at the ground saying, why is nothing growing? We're doing all the right things, but nothing is growing. And perhaps you've even looked at your own life like that before and said, man, why isn't anything growing? I'm doing the right things. I'm praying. I'm going to church. But the relationship's not growing. My finances aren't growing. My career's not growing. And perhaps this is why God says in his word in Galatians, let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. If what? If we don't give up. This is powerful. It is telling us that when we are praying, we are planting seeds in the ground that will grow for future generations. I love what author Mark Batterson says. He says, praying is planting. Each prayer is like a seed that gets planted in the ground. It disappears for a season, but it eventually bears fruit that blesses generations. In fact, our prayers bear fruit forever. Even when we die, our prayers don't. Each prayer takes on a life, an eternal life of its own. I love that thought. And I'm passionate about this because I feel like I am literally a product of patient prayer. See, when I was a teenager, when I was a young adult, I was away from God. I was away from the church. I was caught up in a party atmosphere of drinking and drugs and unhealthy relationships. But while I was out partying, I had a mom that was at home praying for the salvation of her son month after month and year after year. Come on, how many know that you cannot underestimate the power of a praying parent or a praying grandparent? If we're honest, some of us, the only reason we are in this room is because somebody prayed us into the kingdom of God. And maybe there's some young people here, and you might say, well, I'm the only Christian in my family. My parents aren't even Christian. They don't go to church. That's because God has called you to be a praying child. All it takes is one person to change an entire family and to shift it for generations to come. And maybe you're here today and you're a little bit discouraged because life is not turning out the way that you thought it would. Maybe you're a little bit saddened because you've been praying for something for so long. If you're honest, you've just lost hope about it. You're like, yeah, I prayed for that last year. I fasted for that 2 years ago. And not only has it not happened, it's gotten worse. Can I just encourage you? I can't explain it to you, but I can encourage you. The Bible says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be answered. But then listen to what it says shortly after that. It says, keep on seeking. It says, keep on asking, keep on knocking. There's something about keeping on in our prayers. There's something about continuing to believe, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it. You know, there was one theologian that said, God is doing 10,000 things on your behalf, and you're only aware of about three of them. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. What that means is right now, as you're just sitting here listening to this message, God is literally orchestrating angels on your behalf. God is opening doors and God is closing doors for you. God is putting dreams and desires on other people's hearts that connect with the dreams and desires on your heart. And I'm telling you right now, you got to continue to think big and pray big. Because if God has given you a dream, and it is from God, and it is for the glory of God, it will happen. We have to keep praying, because when we keep praying, God keeps moving. In fact, I would just say this to you. We have to stop having funerals for dreams that are not dead. We have to stop having funerals for dreams that are not dead, because if you are still right here in these 6 inches, that means that God is not yet done with you. That means that God is still wanting to do something right here that has the ability to affect everything right here. So if you're a parent, keep praying for your children's children to receive a spiritual inheritance. If you're a part of Gen Z and Gen Alpha, why don't you pray that God would use you to bring revival to your generation? But let us never get so fixated on this that we lose sight of this. I am telling you right now, everything that you do has the ability and the power to affect eternity and generations to come. Let's live with urgency, but let's pray with patience. Let's believe that right now, no matter how old you are, your legacy starts today. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet wherever you are, and we're going to pray in just a moment. But I want you to think about this for a second. 2,000 years ago, Jesus dies on a cross. He's buried in a grave. He raises 3 days later, and he begins to gather together some of his disciples, and he wants to have a meeting with them about how to take over the world with the gospel. Pretty important meeting, right? And he gets them all together and says, listen, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And all of a sudden, this small group of believers goes into a place that the Bible calls the upper room, and they start praying, just like we're about to do in a moment. They start praying and praying and praying. The Bible says after 10 days, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes. They start preaching the first sermons. 3,000 people get baptized, and the Christian church is born. And here we are today, standing in this church in the middle of New Jersey, because we are the result of their prayers. Who will be the result of your prayers? What will be the result of your prayers? Come on, with faith in our heart and our expectation lifted, let's just begin to pray in this place. Jesus, we thank you that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God, we speak and pray for generational blessings right now. We pray for entire families to come to know Christ. God, we pray for countries to be covered with the word and with water, God. Psalm 2:8 says, ask me for the nations and I will give them to you. They shall become your legacy. God, we believe you for miracles, signs, and wonders. God, we pray right now that the seeds that we are planting in this life will have a ripple effect for generations to come. We pray this together as one big family in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.